from my vantage point, my perspective, with our children leading out as they have, not only today, but this month, with our emphasis on Kids Zone worship. I think our church will be in good hands in the coming generations. And all of us said, amen. Amen. Last week, I asked you to take your phone and do a couple of things on social media for me. I want to ask you to do the same thing today, but I did want you to know that last week when I asked you to go online and go to our Facebook page, FBCL Louisville, 99 of you went out and you shared the link. And because of that, that then took our link for our service this morning to 5,294 Facebook users. This means those 99 people had connections and friends that once that link went out from your phone, our phones, 5,294 folks had the opportunity to see the link. Doesn't mean they watched it, because they didn't, but 2,000 views resulted from 99 people liking and sharing that link on Facebook. Out of those 2,000 views, did everybody stay for the entire sermon? I'm sure that they wanted to, but they got called away. But of those 2,000 views, 1,171 minutes were actually viewed of this portion of our service. Now, the sermon portion was 25, 26, 27 minutes in length, if I remember. And so that's quite a bit of minutes of people viewing it. What am I saying? I'm saying that in the day and age in which we live, we have the technology in our hands to use it for the good, to use it for God's glory. And just that little effort allowed us to have a far-reaching influence. So I want to ask you to do the same thing that I asked you to do last week. Hopefully we can get more than 99 of us. I know that if there's whatever number there is in this room, we have that many phones at least in the room. There is no doubt. And we're a little bit excited, our family, because we're expecting the birth of a 13th grandchild before church is over today. Lindsay and Robbie went to the hospital in Frisco. They're there now. Marcy just came back from there. They went early this morning, and so we're anticipating the announcement of that 13th grandchild. We don't know the gender. They're doing it the old-fashioned way, just waiting until the birth for us all to know. So I think that all of those things in mind, our church is in a great position to minister to the coming generations. And if we can take the technology that's available to us and use it to broaden our influence, it's a pretty good thing to do, isn't it? We're looking these weeks at the fruit of the Spirit being deeply rooted in what the Scripture calls, not the fruits of the Spirit, not nine individual character traits of Christians, though it certainly can be viewed in that way. But it's very clear that when Paul wrote those words to the Galatian churches, he didn't say the fruits of the Spirit, but he said the fruit of the Spirit, singular, issues forth in the following. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, God's word says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. We're going to focus and bring our attention to patience this morning. Love, joy, peace, patience. Remember, some of the commentaries you may read may take these nine characteristics and try to super organize them. Nothing wrong with that. Some will say that those first three are the most important. And this second grouping of three that begins with patience and then kindness and goodness, it's not that they're not important, but they speak to our relationships to a different audience, perhaps, to the way we treat one another. I think when Paul put out this list, the Spirit of God led him to just write them out. There is a great case to build that love being first is foundational. I don't think any of us would disagree with that. But as you look over these nine unique words in the Greek text that we translate over into English, you're going to find, or we'll find, that two of them are very closely related. Patience, that we're going to look at today, and then the last one, self-control. If you study the background, the origin of these words, you'll find in dictionaries and in grammar books, whatever, you'll find in Bible studies that patience, as listed here, and self-control, as listed here, can sometimes appear to be synonyms, closely related words. Matter of fact, many times, dictionaries that I've read, gone out and studied these verses, have used some of the same terms to define each one of them. Patience will be tied to endurance, as self-control is going to be tied many times to endurance. Patience and self-control, once we get to that last of the nine characteristics, we're going to find that these two are closely related in a way, but they're also different and unique. They each speak to a different part of the fruit of the Spirit. But what I want to ask you to remember is this. There's got to be something fairly important when you got nine characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit and two of them are so closely related. They say to me, super important here. Pay close attention. Don't forget what you have said about patience, because in just a few words later, you're going to have self-control, which is tied together with patience. And if that's the case, and if in these nine characteristics, two of them are so closely related, it can only be because they are so crucially important that we must give attention to them. Patience. Patience. Basically, patience has been defined by some, and I love this definition, as just simply hurry up and wait. Because that is basically how patience is viewed in the Scripture. It is viewed against the backdrop and the idea of waiting. Now, you know, you've heard the one-liners about patience. You know, the prayer, God, give me patience, and what? Give it to me right now. That kind of thing. It's just that patience, it just grows on us so much, and it's a word that just we want to shy away from it because it's such an ordeal when you look at what patience means as reflected in the Scripture. But I want you to focus on the word wait, because more times than not, when you look up patience or self-control, as we said, or you look up all the other synonyms like long-suffering or forbearance. Those are big, long, multi-syllable words that we don't use in everyday language. At least most of us don't. I don't. But they're all tied in Scripture to the idea of waiting. Waiting. It's a two-way street. It's our waiting. And it's also realizing that God at times waits. It's also the simple fact that many times we see others around us whose decisions affect us wait. And so this idea of patience just seems to be cyclical. It seems to just start here and move all the way through and come back once again to the key idea that patience is all tied up in waiting. Such waiting, scriptural fruit of the Spirit waiting, reminds us of some things. It reminds us that we are not in control. As much as you want to be, as much as I may think I am in control of certain things, The biblical idea, the fruit of the Spirit that is wrought forth in patience, reminds us all that we are not in control. And not only that, we cannot make things happen. Now you may say, well, you just watch me, Stephen, and I'll make things happen. I'll stir it up. I'm not talking about that kind. I'm talking about the good kind of making things happen. We cannot do that. We cannot manufacture God's will. We cannot of our own power, aside from the power of the Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit. We don't have that control. We are simply those who must wait. And so the sum of it all is that waiting actually produces patience. Waiting. So when you're praying or you're asking for patience, whether you say, give it to me now, Lord, or not, you need to tie to it that if you're waiting on something, if you have prayed a prayer and you have yet to receive an answer from God, that very waiting is producing in you and me that characteristic, that component of the fruit of the Spirit that Paul lists as patience. There is an active side to this notion of waiting and patience. Most of the time we sit here and think, well, if I'm waiting, then I'm on hold. And there's some merit to that. If I'm waiting, I'm doing nothing. But I want to ask you to focus on the fact that patience, as described in Scripture, the fruit of the Spirit, patience, has an active mode. It has an active side. It basically falls down to the fact that we have a choice. We have a choice to choose our behavior when we're in a time of waiting. So if you're wondering, well, now, patience is me just standing still? Not necessarily. Patience is just simply me just holding back, doing nothing? No, there is an active side and an active component in biblical patience. And it involves the choice or the choices that we make as we respond to the fact that we have been put on hold, that we're in a time and a period and a season of waiting upon God. And those choices basically are one of two in my way of thinking. One of the active means of patience working its way through our lives is that we allow God to cultivate what I would call our inner world. We allow God to grow us, to help us. We're allowing God to have His way in our lives. And sometimes when God is carving out who we are, that's done by our waiting, our patient waiting. The flip side to that is we can escape into destructive behaviors. The active side of patience, the choice that we make when we find ourselves in a time of waiting, a pause, if you will, when we find ourselves having to put things on hold, when we're waiting and patience is growing within us and patience is being developed within us, we've got that choice. We can allow God to do His good work through our lives as we wait, or we can stiff arm Him. And we can slide into destructive behavior. That can be bad habits. It can be a thought process that takes us away from God. It can be a disengaging from God's word, from God's people. Have you ever known someone who has given up on God's family, given up on church, and the real root cause of it is the fact that they're waiting? The fact that they have had to take a pause? The fact that waiting is not an option? Over in the book of Exodus, over there in the 32nd chapter, that's the section where Moses had led the people out of bondage in Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea. They're in the area of the mountain called Sinai. And there Moses is called to go up onto the mountain. And God, you remember, gives Moses the law. We summarize it in the fact that we call it the Ten Commandments. He gave them, etched them on tablets of stone. But you remember that while Moses was gone to the mountain to receive God's law, just the beginning of it really, but to get advice and to get instruction to pass along to the people as to how they were to conduct themselves and how they were to organize their government, how they make decisions, how they were to worship the Lord God, and all those other things that Moses came down with. The Bible says in chapter 32 of Exodus, listen to verse 1. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us a God who will be before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." You see, when we're put in a time of waiting, when we have to wait upon God, look at what can happen. The Bible says that the people were mad at Moses because he what? He delayed. He waited to come down. He waited until God was through with him, until God had delivered the message that he wanted Moses to bring to his people. But the people, on the other hand, when they reacted to the delay of Moses coming down from the mountain, took matters into their own hands. And whereas they could have allowed this time of waiting to develop their lives, pointing and reaching closer to God, they chose what? They chose to take things into their own hands. They chose to slip into destructive behavior, which is summed up in that one word that seems to begin here and go all the way through Scripture, idolatry. Putting something in the place of God. You see, my friends, patience, waiting, is not an option. The world does not stop during our period of waiting. You ever notice that? The world doesn't put itself on hold. But what we can do is we can focus on those things that we can control. And as Jesus told us time and again, to pray and to work, we need to pray and to work on those things that we can control, especially when we're in a period of waiting. So what I want to do, I want to leave you with something you can do, something I can do that will make the difference in a period of waiting. It's found in the 37th Psalm. I simply want to read to you what David says in that passage. He says, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." I want to offer to you and to me a reminder something positive that we can do. Because if you're in a period of holding, if you're in a period of waiting, I've already told you that when you and I, as God's children, find ourselves waiting, then we can be assured that patience is being developed in our lives. That is the way to cultivate that portion of what we call the fruit of the Spirit. But in the midst of that waiting, it can be excruciating. We all know that. In the midst of waiting, in the midst of wanting, in the midst of prayers that go seemingly unanswered, there is a method, a process. In Psalm 37, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 that I just read for you, it's basically understanding that patience, that prayer, that growing is a cycle. It begins. It progresses. It comes back to its beginning once again. And it repeats itself over and over again. In Psalm 37, the psalmist David told us to commit our way to the Lord. We begin every decision-making process in the spiritual realm with what? With a commitment. Everything that we do should be focused upon bringing people to that point of commitment. I may, as you did, share with the world the life, kind of the summary of evangelist Billy Graham over these past days, because he went to heaven just a few days ago. But if there's anything that that man did as a messenger, as an evangelist, as a preacher, as a teacher, was he always brought people to a point of commitment. That's the whole deal. That was everything. All the planning, all the background work, everything, all the music, everything that went along, everything he ever said, always ended with its beginning. And that beginning was a commitment to God's will in your life. So I would say to you and to me, commit. That's where we begin. And a commitment means we give all to God. We don't hold anything back. We don't withhold anything from Him. Commit. But Psalm 37 in these verses not only says commit, but it says, trust. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it, the Scripture says. So as we commit and we move in the cycle, as we move in the process, we have to follow that up with trust. Trust, dependence upon God. You can define it many ways. Is it giving up? In a sense, you might say so. But trust involves that commitment that we make and leaving that commitment with God. It's not a picking and a choosing. It's not a, I'm committing this, but I'm going to take back this. It's trusting God with every detail of your life. It's understanding that He ultimately knows best. But the psalmist also said, not only commit, not only trust, but he says, delight. Now, delight is a strange word in this context for our language. And that's just simply the way it is. But when you go back to the Hebrew translation of this psalm, it's not the idea of delight like we think of you know, smiling or laughing or being happy with, delighting ourselves. You speak of delight when you talk about, you know, romance, or you talk about good food and how you want more of it. But here, delight is an intense focus. That's what it means. It means that you're staring at, you're focusing on, you're concentrating on God and His will, God and His provision. And that focus, that intentional focus, What's it going to do? In the midst and the time of waiting, is it going to begin to sharpen your perspective on what God is doing in your life? So the psalmist tells us to commit. The psalmist tells us to trust. The psalmist tells us to focus intently. No distractions. But then finally he says, rest. Now you go back and you see in Hebrew scripture that rest in English is actually two words in Hebrew. Guess what they are? Wait patiently. Wait patiently for him. Now, I can understand why a translator would say, well, let's wrap it up in one word that'll communicate to English-speaking people, rest. But rest doesn't quite do it when you compare it to what the phrase really says. Wait patiently. Rest makes me think that I just kick back, prop my feet up, pick the right sleep number. By the way, my sleep number is 35, if you wanted to know. But rest like that? No. Wait patiently for him, for God to move, for God to reveal, for God to act. Knowing that many times what he reveals to us and what he's really acting upon is what must be created in our lives if we're to honor him, and that is patience. So we sometimes may think patience is just a byproduct. No, patience is it. It is the end goal. It's what God is doing in our lives. It is the missing ingredient for most of us. Wait patiently on him. So, when you focus, and maybe you've been focusing on whatever that waiting is you're doing, it's been going on too long, you may think. You may go back in the past and remember when God took you through this process. You may not have put these words with it, but now you can. Or it may be that as you walk out of this room today, before the day is over, you're going to have to wait. You're going to have to wait on God in some detail of your life. Remember, commit, trust, focus and delight, and wait patiently for him. God still moves in the lives of his people. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, right here where we need to be. Be right here doing what we need to do. And may our thoughts, may our actions reflect our love for you and our commitment to you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. How do we conclude this hour? If you've been around here at all, you know that we conclude each and every time we gather to worship with a time of response, a time of commitment. So we do that in these closing minutes as well. Could be that someone is in this very room and you're yet to make that first step, commitment to God through his son Jesus. If that's a desire of your heart to become a follower of Jesus, a child of God, there'll be ministers and deacons standing across this floor to receive you, to pray for you. We can't make this choice for you, but we certainly can advise and pray and counsel and help you make that first important step. Maybe you're here today and you do know the Lord. You just never told anyone. You've never stood before a congregation and so stood before the world and said, I belong to Jesus. Would you be willing to do that today? If so, I ask you to come forward. Maybe you trust the Lord, but have yet to step into the waters of the baptistry, like we had at the beginning of our time this morning. Is that necessary in order to be saved? No. Is it a step of obedience? Absolutely. And what it signifies and what it means. If that's something that you're thinking about, stirring up in your heart and in your mind, let's talk about it so you can commit and you can experience believer's baptism of your own choosing. Maybe it's a church you're looking for. Here we are. Great churches all around us. The key is plug in, find where God's leading, and serve with a whole heart. How do you join a church? Here you step out and come forward. That's the beginning step to identify with God's people here in this place. And then for most of us, patience. We almost just spit the words out when we talk about it because we're unfamiliar with it. It scares us. It's asking too much. Patience, waiting, it's part of the journey. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So whatever God would lead you to do to help you in those times of waiting, commit it to Him right now. Trust Him. Focus on Him. And wait patiently for Him. And then do it all again. Over and over and over again. Every day that you live. That's our invitation. We stand here. We wait for you to come as you stand with us as a congregation. And we sing, Step Out Right Now.